now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
I am your host, Michael B., and this is a glorious Friday here in North Dallas, Texas. I thank all of you for the biggest week of attendance since the first week of May when, after Alex Jones allowed me to promote my show live on Infowars.com. Again, on the first week of May, and since then, you know, the it exploded, right? Because, well, people got to hear me in the mass audience, and then, of course, you know, things get grounded, things come back to earth. But it's been a slow increase, which I'm very happy with all of you that have taken the time to listen to my show, and this week is the biggest week since then. So I really appreciate it. And I know that I have a lot of work ahead of me. You know, I gotta work on websites. I have to do more promoting. I have to do more exposure. And of course, I'd love to do that full time. But as you know, we still have to put food on the table. And the Truth Zone isn't there yet, but I'm looking forward to the day when I can put food on the table and do a 2 or 3 hour show every day instead of just an hour, because there's so much going on. This week I did a 3-part series, and I'm going to finish it off today. It's going to be a segue into why is America persecuted the way it is? Why are we having this massive, I believe it's a massive attack? Some would say, well, Europe is being attacked more with the refugee flooding and the European Union. That's fine, but I see the Europeans as more complicit. I think there is more fight in we, the American people, and I believe that we're showing a lot more resistance. Europe has been used to being subservient to their masters. They've been this way for thousands of years. They never really experienced a true representative republic that we have. They have had, obviously, monarchies. They've had dictators. They've had straight-up democracies, like in Greece, and which Thomas Jefferson and the Founding Fathers didn't want us to have, because then the 51%, which I'd like to say the 50.1%, can dominate the 49.9%. So they never had what we have. So, you know, they're softer. S-A-W-F-T. For you wrestling fans, Big Kaz and Enzo. They're soft. Much softer than we are. We're tougher. We will fight back more. And we tend to cling to our rights better than Europe does. So I feel that the war zone, the battleground, isn't just the earth, but the heart of the battle is right here on American soil. Because if we do fall, and I don't believe that we will, but if we do, that's basically going to be the final nail in the coffin, and the global elites win. Now, for those of you that just don't believe that there is a march for a one world order and global domination, well, you really are just living in denial. I've played a montage of very recognizable voices, world leaders, and you could find it on YouTube and see their faces. They out and out have been calling openly for this new world order since George H.W. Bush, a.k.a. Bush 41, openly called for a new world order on September 11th, 1991. That was no coincidence that 10 years later, with his son being president, that 9/11 took place. And if you really examine everything, you are neither more secure, and certainly you are neither more free. You had way more rights 17 years ago than you do now. The police were way more relaxed than they are now. The government was much more covert in what they did than they are now. And I, you know, a lot of people, well, some people have said, well, you know, 9/11 woke up a lot of people, and the government has been exposed. Well, I am led to believe that these elitists are not stupid. We heard for 8 years, oh, you know, Obama is incompetent. He doesn't have the experience. He's not that smart. All of that is untrue. Barack Obama knew exactly what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. And he know why he was doing it. He's probably, and the people above him, are probably very frustrated. Now, I'm going to take that back. He is probably more frustrated than the people above him. Because the people above him, evil, is very, very patient. Those at the top are the descendants, whether by blood or by ideology, all the way back to what I've been discussing, all the way back to the Tower of Babel and Nimrod. So this has been thousands of years in the making. This quest has been taking place, excuse me, since after the flood. Oh, I just want to say, you're hearing this cough? Right now, we're having our AC unit and ducts all replaced today. 22 freaking G's. It turns out we had an inspection, and it turns out that our equipment was faulty. So I'm going to give you a little bit of advice. I'm going to pass this on. For those of you that plan on buying a house and, you know, you get the inspector, well, obviously, we had our house inspected as well. And we got the green light. Oh, everything's fine. You know, they found minor things which were fixed. Oh, but everything's fine. Turns out, our air unit and the ducts are not fine. As a matter of fact, we have some bacterial growth, which is all getting removed today. And we have oil leaks and everything else. It wasn't fine. But when these inspectors, they're not as thorough as we're led to believe. So my advice to you is that when you're buying a home with central AC, which basically all of them here are in Texas, you have that inspector, or you have a company come in and inspect it thoroughly, because we could have had the price negotiated and had this problem fixed a year and a half ago. Now it's all on us. So that's my advice to you when you're buying a home. So with this bacterial growth and the dust buildup and the AC unit not working properly, it's probably why all three of us in the house sneezed and coughed. We thought, well, you know, the dog hair and all that could do it, but the air wasn't being processed properly. So that's why you hear me clear my throat. And of course, the more that the AC unit is used, like in the heat, the more the bad stuff was being circulated in the house. So, ergo, the more irritation in our respiratory area. So we're getting that fixed today. So that is my advice to you, to future homeowners. So Obama, who is obviously more frustrated, which is why he's doing what he's trying to do, because he vehemently worked very hard to accomplish what he wanted. And that was basically make the United States as third world-like or vulnerable to becoming like another Venezuela during his 8 years. And he's most likely very frustrated that he couldn't meet his goals. But the people above him, I am sure, are very satisfied. They're probably very satisfied with the results that they've achieved within the last 17 years. So as much as we think that, you know, we exposed the government for who they are, I think it's reasonable that they advanced up to 9/11. They advanced enough to unleash 9/11. I'm sure they knew that that would lead to a quote-unquote awakening by all of us, and they were prepared for that, and they could handle it. And as you could see, even with all the exposure, they still move on and move forward with their agenda. America is becoming more and more perverse as a society. We're talking about that, and we're going to continue the last 6 minutes of yesterday's clip. We see more corruption in the establishment politically and religiously. We see a militarized police force throughout the country. I mean, these people are in full army gear. Growing up in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, I never saw such things. There were the usual police. Yeah, you had the SWAT team, no doubt, but you mostly saw them on TV, okay? You didn't see them on the streets the way we do now. And of course, in Europe, you go to Italy. I was there in 2010, and they had two police forces. They had what we would call the National Guard, and then the local town, the city of Rome police. Two of them, and you saw them on the streets. And their police cars and their uniforms were very distinguishable. And certainly, that's where the United States is headed. So I believe that the elites were not concerned, and that is why Bush 41 in 1991 so easily called for the New World Order. And I am sure that he and the people that he works for were prepared for us to investigate, what does New World Order mean? Right? And then, I mean, even in the 80s, like I referred to the book The New World Order by A. Ralph Epperson. This was written in the late 80s. So I am sure that they had no problem with us becoming awakened to this stuff. But I think that they feel when push comes to shove, we're going to fall on our faces, fall on our knees like Europe, and just capitulate. And, you know, Alex Jones on Infowars.com has been talking about they're going to assassinate Trump. They're going to assassinate Trump. They're calling for civil war. I'm seeing all over Facebook, I'm ready. I'm ready for it. You know, people are showing pictures of their guns, which I don't think is that smart. You know, 3%ers and all that. And I've said, well, my biggest fear is not a civil war or really an insurrection. My biggest fear is that nothing will happen. Say, and really, God forbid that something does happen to Trump, either assassination, which I think is more real than an impeachment, because they're just going to have to make up evidence. They're just going to, because there's nothing there with the Russiagate. They're just going to have to make it up. So, if Donald Trump was removed from office, either way, my biggest worry is that nothing will happen. And that'll be probably the final collapse, because if nothing does take place and we just continue to bitch on social media, I think that's going to send a very, very strong message to the elites that we will lie down. And folks, they could really pour it on. So I think it's really important for all of us, not just, you know, me on this little level. You know, Alex Jones has called for all of his audience to create YouTube channels, podcasts, which motivated me to get back in the game. I took over a year off, but I decided to get back in because we must discuss this. And it's not so much to turn liberals around, it's really for you people to know that you're not alone. You know, we're all together in this. So I do this, really, well, I do for a few reasons. One, I like to get this off of my chest. You know, it doesn't feel good to leave all of this in, so it's kind of therapy for me to vent all of my feelings about what's going on in the world. So that's an instant gratification for me. I also feel that perhaps I'm sharing things with you that you might not know, and I'm hoping that you'll pass it on to people you do know. And also that, so you know, as I've said, that you're not alone in this, that, you know, we're a very large group. We're the so-called silent majority stuff. And I know we didn't stay silent on the election, and that's great, but we must continue to not be silent. And one of the things that we have to do, and whether it makes a difference or not, and we're really going to find out, I think, within the next 6 months, where Donald Trump really stands. Is he really sincere? Or is he a shill? I think we're going to find out in 6 months. And what I'm referring to is someone's got to be arrested. Comey, Lynch, Obama, Clinton. And it can't be just this small fry reality winner. I mean, nobody cares about this broad. This broad's nothing. It's got to be a household name, ladies and gentlemen. Someone has to be indicted within the next 6 months. Or I think we're going to have to start asking ourselves, okay, is this entire thing a total charade? Is everybody jerking us off? Excuse my language, but that's just the way it is. I mean, is this just one big circle jerk? And are we really just fodder to these people? And they're just going to take whatever they want to take, when they want to take it, and just totally, you know, morph us into a bunch of pansies. And I talked about that yesterday. The feminization of men and the masculinization of women to basically merge us into this unisex sissy that doesn't reproduce. That's the soft kill depopulation. I've talked about that. I'm not going to bore you with those details again. You want to hear about it? Listen to yesterday's show. Listen to all week. All right? So you'll it's in the archives. So are we gonna lie down to this? Are we gonna capitulate, or are we gonna push back? And one of the things that we can do is still continue to vote. Yeah, it's not hard. All right, it's not hard, and I still believe that we have to eliminate at the ballot box as many Democrats as we can, weaken that communist perverted party, because that's all they represent. All they represent is perversion, be it abortion, be it homosexuality, this transgender nonsense, atheism, the attack on Christianity, the whole nine yards. Free this, free that, yeah, whatever. Their entire ideology is now just completely perverted. And once we weaken them enough, we have to take out the rhinos. And it's not that hard. You register to vote. You show up. If your state and your city has early voting, take advantage. I've been in Texas 3.5 years. I've been voting early. Nobody's there. It's a 5-10 minute drive down. They process me. I pop my card in. Excuse me. I hit the buttons I want to hit. I hit confirm. They swallow the card. The feeder swallows the card. I say goodbye to the elderly ladies, the volunteers, and I go back home. The whole process is 30 minutes, okay? So it's not that big a deal. If you don't have early voting and you have to do it on that day, well, I'm sorry if you have to stand in line for a couple of hours. But you know what? What's a couple of hours in the scheme of things, you know, once a year? Because there's always elections, whether they're minor or major, every year. What's the big deal? I think it's better to do something than to do nothing and say, well, I don't vote because, you know, I'm not a slave to the system. Well, yeah, you are. We all are. If you think you're getting away with something, I've talked about this. You know, the ones that live off the grid, they're living like Grizzly Adams. If that's their choice, fine. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying, you know, I really don't want to. I don't want to suffer in the heat. I don't want to suffer in the cold. I don't want to have to catch rainwater and, you know, maybe I don't get enough that day or whatever. I don't want to hunt and skin animals and it's just not for me. I do like some modern comforts. I'm not going to deny it. I do like to go out to a restaurant and have food prepared for me. I like my electricity. I like my internet. I'm not going to deny it. And I don't think, I don't like being poor. I mean, I know people do things under the table and, you know, they basically scrape by. I don't want to just scrape by. I don't think that we have to short our quality of life to say, well, we're beating the man. I don't think that's necessary. Like, for instance, I am out of the federal government's model of healthcare. I've been out of it going into my third year. I'm with a Christian organization called LibertyHealthShare.org. I'm 52 years old. I pay $199 a month, and it has not gone up. I have a $500 deductible, and they've just added this year, and I got to submit my pharmacy bills. They've just included covering prescription drugs, and my price has not gone up. I do not fund abortions in my medical plan because, as Christians, we don't recognize infanticide. I don't pay for birth control. No, I am not against birth control. I just think that if you want it, go get it. It's not expensive. And if people have a tighter religious view on any form of birth control, that is their right, and they shouldn't be forced to pay it. Under a Christian health share, you don't have to pay for that. And you don't have to sponsor that. You don't have to pay somebody else's birth control. You don't have to pay for somebody else's abortion. You also don't have to pay for mental health. Because quite frankly, as Christians, we should be going to our church for that. So you don't have to be part of the healthcare system. And ask yourself, could you imagine if every person who truly can't stand the federal government's healthcare model and doesn't want to go without healthcare and be vulnerable to, you know, one catastrophic event puts you in bankruptcy court, ladies and gentlemen, and I know you know that. So, organizations like Liberty HealthShare, A, removes you from the government model, and B, protects you from catastrophic loss. So, that's one avenue where you can leave the system, the secular system, but you don't have to short your quality of life. You don't have to short yourself. Now, we just need to find other avenues where we can get out of the income tax situation. Right now, there, as far as I know, there is nothing for the average citizen that can pull us completely out of paying taxes to the federal government other than living 100% under the table. And folks, I don't know anybody personally that's making 70, 80, 90, 100 grand or more totally under the table, living legitimately, and not vulnerable to one day being tracked down and jailed. I don't know anyone, personally. So, right now, I only see an avenue to escape the healthcare system as far as buying into it and being under their constraints. Now, for those of you that have a problem with the military-industrial complex, like I do, well, there is a solution. And the solution is, stop encouraging our children to join the military. As long as we keep feeding Washington, D.C., with the flesh and blood of our children, as long as we continue to do that, they're going to conduct business as usual. So we have to cut off that supply. Now, right now, we don't have a mandatory draft, right? So everybody joining the military is 100% voluntary. Well, stop encouraging our children to volunteer. And, you know, that's a very touchy subject. I've taken beatings for that over the, several years on Facebook. I'll never forget one time, she's probably not a Facebook friend of mine anymore. This was a couple of years ago. She asked, should I encourage my son to go into Army school? I don't know if it was West Point, you know, whatever. Should I encourage that? I mean, she asked. So I said no, and I basically gave the same explanation. People went bananas. And it's the same people that when you play the Eisenhower clip of the military-industrial complex, they'll go, yeah, that's not right. Eisenhower called it. He called it. Then at the same time, how dare you say that you shouldn't join the military? You should be proud of your military. Be proud of your veterans. I mean, you can't have it both ways, folks. You can't vilify the military-industrial complex. You can't condemn the Arab Spring and having our military in two endless wars that you people have said is a fake war on terror, and then at the same time glorify our troops and encourage your children to enter and to brag about your service. Well, I did three tours over there, and you know, I'm a sergeant. You can't have it both ways. You have to make a decision. You're either pro military industrial complex or you're anti. It's the same thing. Look, forget this pro-choice garbage. You're either pro-life or you're pro-death. The opposite of life is death. It's not choice. The opposite of light is dark. White is black. Good is bad. I mean, there's no mixing. So, if you're against what our military is doing, if you truly believe that these wars are being fabricated and manipulated to our detriment, then you got to stop glorifying it. And you have to stop sending your children into the military. You got to make a commitment. See, I made that commitment 16 years ago, when my children were still little. And I said to their mother, my wife at the time, I even said that before 9/11. I said that when our children became of age and there was ever a mandatory draft, because I knew even then a little bit, I knew what was going on. I said to her, we're leaving the country. And we're going someplace where they don't have, what is that called? I forget the term now. I just lost it. Where the country doesn't have an agreement to arrest us on their soil and ship us back to the United States. I forget the, I don't know if it's expatriate. I don't know what it is. I forgot the term. But I told her then, I said, no way. So, you guys got to make the commitment. You guys and girls out there. You're either on the side of the military, and I'm not talking, you know, I don't have anything against soldiers. I know that 99.99999% of them have good intentions. That's not my argument. My problem is with the military establishment. And I made that commitment a long time ago. I am against the military establishment. If I had a magic wand, I would have erased all of this imperialism the last 100 years, and I would stick to the original intent of the Constitution that said the United States will not have a standing army for more than 2 years. So, if there was a war, and let's say it got done within a year and a half, and the 2 years came up, the army's supposed to be disbanded. And then you have your local state militias. And then, if there was ever another war, Americans would be called for duty. And then the army gets disbanded again. That's how it was supposed to be. It was not supposed to be almost 200 military bases all over the world. That was not the intent. And if I had a magic wand, I would erase all of this stuff. But you see, I'm not Harry Potter. But the only way to make a dent in this military-industrial complex is to make the commitment. Are you for it or are you against it? If you're against it, you don't encourage your children to join. And you decrease the amount of soldiers. Then that puts the establishment in a position where do they go more robotic, which basically they're doing anyway? Do they speed up the possible inevitability of having, we've got the drones and we've got, DARPA has military walking robots already. And they know when they're going to unleash that, but do we hasten that inevitability? Or if they're not ready, then do we force them into recreating the mandatory draft? But we can't go on this way. We cannot voluntarily feed this machine. So, you can get out of the healthcare wheel. Unless, until the day comes, if the day comes where they outlaw Christian health shares, which that's another story. And we can reduce the military numbers through lack of volunteering. The income tax thing right now, there's no way out of it, other than going underground. But we have to make that commitment. And it's the same thing with abortion. Why are we fighting Roe v. Wade? Why are we fighting Planned Parenthood? It's so unnecessary. Make better choices in your spouse when you make that commitment to get married. Make a better choice so you're not in divorce court 2 to 5 years later or whatever. And teach your children that life begins at conception, not when it comes out of the womb or when the state says, well, you know, after 30 weeks, well, after 22 weeks, well, after 19 weeks. No. Sperm hits egg, egg is fertilized, life begins. And that life is sacred from conception to grave. Folks, these abortion clinics would close due to attrition. They'd all go bankrupt. So it's unnecessary to fight all of this stuff. Things that you can pull out of. Things that you can't, well, that's where we have to get loud at the voting box, get loud on social media and say, look, if you're not going to put in your platform, and these are people that are running for offices, if you don't put in your platform that you're committed to real tax reform, we're not going to vote for you. And, okay, if you promise that and we believe you and we vote you in and you don't make that happen in your first term, you're not getting a second term. See, folks, there are things that we can do to put off this stirring of the pot for an insurrection. Or at least, we could make the establishment fire the first shot like Britain did. But we shouldn't do that. We don't have to fire the first shot. And that's what I'm seeing on Facebook. Oh, something happened. Oh, we're going to go. Hey. We don't have to do that. And we don't have to fight things that we can pull out of. But you have to make that commitment. And you have to be all the way in. You're either all the way in or you're all the way out, as far as I'm concerned. So, that's enough with my 42-minute rant. So, I'm going to continue with the last 6 minutes of the clip about the corruption of the church adopting worldly ways. Solomon did that. Israel fell. The United States is doing that. The United States is falling. Here we go.
You have Apple, and of course you have Samsung and other tech giants that are implementing this in the mobile phone so people get subverted to it or used to it. It's a convenience right now, but wait until it's not a convenience and instead it controls. You see, there's something I want to show you. Have a look.
I'll keep you warm and safe in my people's zoo.
We are summoning the demon.
Is when robots come to life as artificial organisms.
Let's look down the street from where we stand right now, to CERN.
Okay, I will destroy humans.
Keep you warm and safe in my people's zoo.
Jumping over to the Middle East, Iran's military announced on Sunday that it launched several missiles into Syria, targeting Islamic State fighters in retaliation for the attacks in Tehran on June 7th. The U.S.-led coalition downed Syrian army planes in southern Raqqa, says the U.S. Army, U.S. Army statement, excuse me. The U.S.-led coalition has downed a government warplane in southern Syria. The Syrian army and coalition have announced in separate statements. The Syrian military added that the plane's pilot is also now missing. The White House... Here we go again. The White House officials are pushing for a widening war in Syria, even over Pentagon objections. A pair of top White House officials is pushing to broaden the war in Syria, viewing it as an opportunity to confront Iran and its proxy forces on the ground there, according to two sources familiar with the debate inside the Donald Trump administration. Urza Cohen, the Senior Director for Intelligence on the National Security Council, and Derek Harvey, the NSC's top Middle East advisor, want the United States to start going on the offensive in southern Syria. Well, literally, on Sunday, we have a downed Syrian plane. This is going to lead to war. And, of course, this has been the plan the whole all along with Syria, to spark a massive war. We've seen the signs. Now, of course, they want to expand the campaign in Syria. They're saying that. Their plans are making even traditional Iran hawks nervous, including Defense Secretary James Mattis, who has personally shot down their proposals more than once, the two sources said. The situation in southern Syria has escalated in recent weeks after a U.S. warplane shot down an Iranian-made drone that had attacked U.S. forces on patrol with Syrian allies near an American outpost at Al-Tanf. The drone attack came after two U.S. airstrikes on Iranian-backed Shiite militias, which had moved too close to the Americans' garrison. Back to the home front, Tennessee homeowners credits Jesus Christ after the Georgia fugitives surrender in his driveway. A Tennessee homeowner rejected the label of hero and instead pointed to Jesus Christ while speaking at a press conference on Friday about the capture of two escaped Georgia inmates who murdered two correctional officers while in transport to another prison. Patrick Hale, 35, says that he had been alerted by friends on Thursday night that the convicts, Ricky DuBose and Donnie Rowe, were in the area and had been in a shootout with police. He loaded his guns in the event that he needed to protect himself and his daughter. His wife was not home at the time. Within minutes, Hale saw the two men cross a barbed wire fence 300 yards from his back door. He called 911. "I prayed like I have never prayed before," Hale recalled. Pondering whether he should stay or leave, Hale decided to grab his daughter and leave the property. As he began backing out of his driveway, he saw that the convicts had drawn even closer. But then something strange happened. "They began to take off their shirts and start waving at us as if to slow down," Hale outlined. Much to his surprise, the men laid down in his driveway in a position of surrender. The situation took him aback. I wonder how many holy, warring angels were guarding Mr. Hale and his daughter. And I wonder just the submissiveness of these two convicts, if they saw something supernatural on that day, because why would they all of a sudden just collapse in his driveway? Not collapse, but surrender in his driveway. It's a very interesting situation and a story, don't you think? God is showing us signs throughout these times. Are you paying attention? I want to thank you all for watching and listening. Remember, we're viewer funded. And there has been so many attacks and so many things going on that started back in April, the really serious last attack. And because of viewer support, viewer funding, we're still here. But I'll tell you what, we have to make more cuts to our YouTube channel because of what's going on. So we're only going to be posting on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays for the time being until we can get our operations back to normal. So if you can and if you're willing, I ask that you please contribute, please donate or subscribe to the website. Go to christiantruther.com/support for more information and, of course, to subscribe or donate. Thank you for your contributions. They are keeping us going. God bless and carry on. Thanks for tuning in to this episode. Make sure you download our free mobile apps available on Apple and Android.
Now, I played the ending of that because certainly I should give them, since I used their material, I should certainly give them the reference. ChristianTruther.com, they've got a lot of good material, folks. I mean, they just don't give you the surface, okay, like CNN and whatnot. And that's what I'm about here, too, is peeling back that onion. So, so as I left off about making that commitment. So we're in a position, folks, you know, it's about faith. Now, my wife and I were talking last night, and she feels that I'm not walking my talk and that I lack faith because, well, I got some, well, I don't know the extent of it. I got to see a couple of doctors here that I'm reaching out to. I wasn't told to go, but there's something going on. So I'm concerned about that. And my professional life took a hiccup a couple of weeks ago, and I'm frustrated that I'm 52 years old, and I've worked very hard, like I'm sure all of you have, and I'm not where I feel that I should be. And I know all of that is on the earthly level. But my wife says, I don't have faith or trust in God. Well, I don't trust human beings. I don't. I don't trust people. See, and I just didn't want to get into it. What concerns me is the amount of suffering that I may have to endure until my time on earth expires. My faith tells me that I do have something better waiting for me because I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. I've accepted that Jehovah God. I'm going to get into the names of why he's Jehovah, and because I think that's important. So I know that by absolutely believing 100% that Christ is who he was, is, and will be, that I have a place somewhere in the book of life. I have it. I don't trust human beings. And I don't trust this world, because as I said on Tuesday, the most troubling verse in the Bible for me is 1 John 5:19. The world lies in the power of the wicked one. And I want to share with you why the headline of the show today is, this isn't just about Republicans versus Democrat. We are just on the physical battlefield. This goes higher than our philosophies. This is a supernatural battle since Adam and Eve, since Genesis 3:22. And the elites know that. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Do you notice that heavenly realms, as I talked about Tuesday, is plural? There are degrees of heavenly realms. Jehovah, Jesus, and the heavenly angels are at the top of that realms. I don't know how many realms there are. And Lucifer, Satan, in my belief, is at the heavenly realm directly above the earth, and he has access. And he is the general of the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and his spiritual forces of evil. And that Jesus Christ, and I'm going to go there, is the general of good. Now, it is my contention that the Archangel Michael, and Jesus Christ, Yeshua, are one and the same. That's my contention. I'm not saying for you to believe that, because, I mean, Revelation is very clear. You add to the scriptures or you take away from the scriptures, there's a price to be paid. So I'm not saying for you to believe that. I'm giving my opinion based on my, almost 30 years now of study. because, as I alluded to earlier in the week, names in the Bible, and our last names, in fact, reflect our strongest qualities. Carpenter, blacksmith, goldsmith, on and on and on. Gabriel, God's messenger. Micah L, he who is like God. And I forgot what Daniel L is. So all that L, see, L is God. So, who else? I mean, we say this in everyday language, that Jesus is the image of God on earth. Well, are we saying that Jesus is like God? Well, he who is like God. Well, his name would be Micah El then, when we're talking in that language. And who would have the power to drive out Satan and his legion, his spiritual forces of evil that we read in the Bible was thrown out of the upper heavenly realm, thrown out of God's court, if you will? Who else but Jehovah's only begotten Son, first of his creations, where everything else has been created through him? Who would have that power? Could it be just an archangel? Or the most powerful one outside of the Creator himself? Right? It would have to be Michael. See, when Gabriel came, we see him mentioned, he was a messenger. He gave good news to Mary and I believe Zechariah, and now the name is skipping me, John the Baptist's father. I think the angels that smited Sodom and Gomorrah, I think Gabriel led that charge. So, but the big one, the big fight, toe-to-toe, is between the strongest outside of the Creator versus a very strong enemy, the third archangel mentioned in the Bible, the light bearer, Lucifer, who has been downgraded to Satan, which means resister, rebel, all of that. So, and obviously, God gave the commission to the strongest of all of them to fight Satan directly. And the only one that can do that is the creation closest to being like God. Well, there's only one. So, it is my belief that Jesus is the archangel Michael before he came to earth and was named Yeshua, or Jesus in the Greek, and I'll go into what Yeshua means. Then upon his return, sitting on the throne, handed the keys to the kingdom, handed the keys to the highest heavenly realm, taking the station of God given to him. Well, then he is like God again, isn't he? So wouldn't his name then be Michael? That's my belief. I'm not asking you to believe that, because if I'm wrong, I don't want to lead anyone astray. I am just giving my opinion of what I've come to understand what names meant in my 30 years of study. So, let's go on to, quickly, because it's 11 o'clock already. You know what? I'll just post this stuff. I'm going to finish up with why America is most severely attacked. Outside of the Kingdom of Israel, only the United States of America, upon the inauguration of its first president, consecrated the country to God. George Washington writes, "In tendering this homage, act of worship, to the great author." Now you have to understand, and this is where it gets tricky. George Washington was a 33rd degree Mason, but I'm going to believe that he didn't succumb to the New World Order stuff, because when you hit the 33rd, allegedly, you get everything revealed to you. And if not, maybe you even got to go even higher. I have no idea. But, you know, he's kind of using a very watered-down version, not saying God, not saying Jehovah. He's saying the great author. But it could get tricky, because you could really go wild with this and say, well, you know, who's in charge of this world? We'll go back to 1 John 5:19. So that can get sketchy. But anyway, "I assure myself that it expresses your sentiments not less than my own, nor those of my fellow citizens at large, less than either. No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than those of the United States." I'm sorry that the dog's barking. "Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. And we ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious," which means favorable, "smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of the order and right which heaven has ordained." Which means, we stray from God, we cannot expect his favor. And here we are in 2017. I think we've reaped what we've sown. Having finished his address, Washington offered its final prayer. "Having thus imparted to you my sentiments as they have been awakened by the occasion which brings us together, I shall take my present leave, but not without resorting once more to the benign parent of the human race, in humble supplication prayer that his divine blessing may be equally conspicuous in enlarged views, the temperate consultations, and the wise measures on which the success of this government must depend." So, what he's saying here is, for the government and for this country to be successful, we must be in alignment with God, with the Creator, with Elohim, which his final name is Jehovah. "I am who I shall prove to be." So we must be in alignment with our Judeo-Christian roots, or we will just see the continued slide into perversion and perhaps the collapse of the greatest republic ever created. My name is Michael B. This is the Truth Zone. See you Monday, 10 a.m. Central.